Invite you to turn with me in your pew Bibles or your own Bibles, better yet, to Romans chapter 8. We almost were going to read the whole chapter this morning, but turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. As you're turning there, just two quick announcements I forgot about. The women are beginning a Bible study this Thursday, meeting at the Fellowship Hall, 6 p.m., studying a Nancy Guthrie book, What to Do When You're Empty? Forgotten the title. But see Lynn about it if you need more details. And then as well, next Sunday, March 7th, first Sunday lunch, immediately following church. But hear God's word, Romans 8, verse 31, and I would ask you to please stand this morning for the reading of God's word. These are glorious verses from God's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, this is the word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This reading of God's holy, divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Be seated. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, as we open your word, prepare to study it together as a church family. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and lives, Lord, convicting us of sin, comforting us with the love of Christ, challenging us to a closer walk of faith, to an ever-growing love for Christ. But Lord, thank you for this gospel promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, in our present day culture of fear, it's easy to become obsessed with our personal and family security. We place security cameras around our homes, even in our doorbells, even in the baby's room. We purchase heavy gun safes for our homes, strong locks, motion lights. You know, some, believe foolishly, are tempted to find their security in stimulus checks, Bitcoin, or the Powerball lottery. This morning, we're concluding our study of Romans 8. Throughout this chapter, I believe this is the 15th sermon, God gives us gracious biblical reasons for assurance of our salvation. You know, in Scripture we can read, we can rest in the security of God's unfailing and unending love for us in Christ. You know, and here as we close out this chapter, looking forward to the rest of Romans, but a little bit of reluctance as we conclude Romans 8. But here in these closing verses and really throughout all of this chapter, we can see that our salvation rests securely on God's sure love for us in Christ. Well, what circumstances then, you might ask, can cause Christians to struggle with salvation security? You know, and there's 10 areas of attack here, just in these two verses. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list, but it's a good representation of those things that would cause us, even as Christians, to struggle with salvation security. You know, look again there at your Bibles. I encourage you to keep them open there to Romans chapter 8. You know, death, life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation. And as we'll see, they're set up in four pairs and then two single truths as well. But note especially how the Apostle Paul begins this section. For I am sure, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced. You know, there is a faithful confidence here in God's sure promises. You know, we see that word, I am sure, I am persuaded, to give you a scriptural example of the intensity of that word, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, 2 Timothy 1, 12, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced. It's that same word. I am persuaded, I am sure that he, that's Christ, is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. You know, here we can see Paul's security in God's unfailing love for him in Christ. Six scriptural truths, and we're going to go through these quickly about God's secure love for us in Christ. It's permanent, it's holy, steadfast, sovereign, providential, and sure. Let's dig into that first set there. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life. That word neither or nor is used 10 times here. You know, just to grab our attention as we're listening to it. And where does the Apostle Paul begin here in Romans? You know, that area that is probably the area of life where we feel most insecure, where we struggle most as Christians, and that's death. You know, can death separate us from the love of Christ? You know, that's our final challenge of faith. Does our physical death separate us, stop God's love for us in Christ? Do we go into some gray area where we're not in heaven, we're not in hell? No, or can we affirm here with Scripture, nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of Christ? You know, there's always an element of fear, you know, even for us as Christians at death. Borrowed quote from Francis Bacon, men fear death as children fear the dark. Yet let us always remember Christ's conquest of death. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, here verse 10, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, Christ abolished death. You know, he broke the power of death. You know, by his own death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection from the grave, he rendered death powerless over us. Yes, we do die. We're not in heaven yet. You know, the wages of sin is death. Adam's sin, our sin. You know, but death itself cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Neither death nor life. You know, go back there to verse 35 of Romans 8. You know, those things in life which we think might separate us from the love of God in Christ. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword. You know, here God again is reaffirming nothing in this life can separate you from the love of God in Christ. The love of God preserves us and protects us. You know, while some of you have witnessed the death of a loved one, others of you have been spared thus far, but once you've been a witness to someone's death, you never forget it. You know, you're there in the hospital room with them at hospice or at home. You're holding on to their hand. Maybe you've been talking with them, praying with them. You know, it's hard to take that last look at your loved one in the casket, say goodbye at the graveside. You know, but neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You remember Jesus' promise to the repentant thief, and that word repentant is always important. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And he, Jesus, said to him, to the repentant thief, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You know, death nor life cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. You know, that's the first pair and probably the most important, but a few more to go here. That's permanent love. The second pair here speaks of God's holy love. Nor angels, nor rulers. A question here, and scholars give great questions on both sides, Bible commentators, is this good angels or bad angels? You know, those who are there in glory surrounding the throne are fallen angels, and best understanding is that it's both. You know, God sent his angels, Hebrews 1:14, they're ministering servants sent to serve those who will inherit salvation, but as well, you know, there are fallen angels. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. You know, so can any angel separate us from the love of God in Christ? The answer is no. Principalities, rulers or principalities. You know, think of the spiritual forces of evil. You can read through Ephesians 6. You know, the gospel armor, the spiritual conflict that is taking place there. Not even Satan can separate us from the love of God in Christ. You know, and here's the point. No unholy power can separate us from God's holy love for us in Christ. And he calls us to a holy love with all of our hearts. You know, here Scripture comforts us with God's holy love, but as well, it calls us to holiness. You know, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You know, that's quoted again in 1 Peter. It's God's holy love for us. So it's God's permanent love. Secondly, God's holy love for us. Third, it's God's steadfast love. The third pair, nor things present, nor things to come. You know, those daily temptations, those difficult trials of faith, the drain of living in a sin-fallen world. You know, the question everyone asks, will this COVID virus ever quit? Nor things present. You know, that they cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nor things to come. You see that balance. You know, sometimes we're fearful, we struggle with assurance of God's love in day-to-day life, but then sometimes when we look to the future, you know, we're even more frightened. You know, even as believers. You know, but it's the uncertainty of the future from our creaturely perspective. You know, we wonder, Lord, you know, what's for young people? What's my career going to be? You get a little bit older, you know, who should I marry? Get a little bit older, you might be asking, Lord, can I best serve the Lord if I remain single? You get a little bit further down the line, you say, okay, Lord, when do I retire? What do you have for me next? You know, the things present nor things to come. You know, none of those can separate us from the love of God in Christ. It's God's steadfast love. You know, Psalm 136, you know, you all read it. You said 26 times his steadfast love endures forever. You know, what do you think the Lord would have us to take away from Psalm 136? Okay, 26 times, I get it, Lord. God's steadfast love endures forever. And you take a closer look how God's steadfast love endures forever. Through war, trial, tribulations. God's steadfast love endures forever. Things present nor things to come. You know, our world seems to be in constant change. I thought it's like a Louisiana weather in February. You know, freezing rain, frozen pipes one weekend, and the next weekend, here it is, 80, got to turn on the air conditioning. You know, God's love is not a daisy love. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. But Lord, I'm going through hard times today. You must not love me, or you must have forgotten about me. You know, and here God's word, both in Psalm 136, Romans 8, tells us, you know, God's love is steadfast, endures forever. Fourth, it's a sovereign love. You know, and here, you know, difficult to figure out the whole structure of these verses, but it's best seen that this word is by itself. You know, we've had three pairs and now powers. Although the King James puts principalities in another spot. But here it's Scripture's declaration that no earthly or spiritual force anywhere can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Dunamis is the word. All powers are subject to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. 1 Peter 3, 22. Begin with the last part of verse 21. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers. That's the word. having been subjected to him. You know, they're all under the feet of Jesus, who sits upon the throne. You know, it's God's sovereign love for us. No political power, no economic power, no social media power, no hurricane, no ice storm, no sinful power can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And so you might ask the question then, or I would ask the question, well, okay, God's sovereign love, will I go through trials and tribulations, sorrows and struggles in this life? And the answer is yes, you will. But God is still sovereign in his love. Charles Spurgeon had a great image, sentence, word picture well worth remembering. He wrote, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." You know, sometimes when those waves are coming, we can just say, man, that's a big wave. Lord, why didn't you spare me? You could have plucked me out of this. And the Lord is teaching us, growing us, grounding us. You know, in his sovereign love. You know, God still sovereignly sends powerful storms into our lives. Why? So that we would cling to Christ. Gladly cling to Christ. God's sovereign love, number four. Number five, God's providential love. Here's the fourth pair, nor height nor depth. F.F. Bruce, and I believe it's the best way of understanding it, these are technical terms in astrology. Nothing in the heavens or the earth. Our lives are not under the control of the planets. The stars, the astrological signs, don't read your horoscope. Don't let anyone else read theirs to you. You know, but here we think of the omnipresence and providential character of our good and gracious God who loves us in Christ. And you see this truly throughout all of Scripture. You know, Psalm 139, verse 8. Psalmist, again, is David, Psalm 139, 8. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the depths, you know, you are there. Now, it's a pretty encompassing term. God, no matter how high I go, you're there. No matter how low it seems, Lord, you're there. You know, it's your providential love. There's one of the best explanations of God's providence comes from our Reformed tradition, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 11, right there near the beginning, what are God's works of providence? And the answer is this: God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. You know, God has everything under his control. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows when a sparrow falls. You know, God's providential love. Finally, there in Romans 8, God's sure and saving love. So it's God's permanent love, holy love, steadfast love, sovereign love, providential love, his sure and saving love. Nor anything else. You know, that again, that's a wonderful expression. It includes anything else. Well, not 99%. You know, we're thankful when vaccines are whatever, 98% or 99%, well, God says, nor anything else, 100% in all creation. Some translate that, nor any other created thing. You know, it reminds us of God's sovereignty in creation. You know, back to Genesis 1, he created everything by the word of his mouth. Spirit hovered over the waters. Yes, and Christ himself was there. You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Colossians 1, you know, as we think of God's sure and saving love in creation, Colossians 1, 16, for by him, by Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So God's sure and saving love that we see in creation. You know, but then this final phrase will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, remember, if you've been here a while, remember that goes back to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, and so really these are two bookends to this whole section. You know, when we're struggling, when we feel insecure, fearful, anxious, you know, can anything separate me from your love, Lord? You know, and here the Lord hits us with a scriptural 2x4. Don't forget this. You know, just phrase upon phrase. I should say a loving hit with the 2x4, if that's possible. You know, God's gracious love. No thing and no one can break God's golden chain of salvation. We've seen that already in verses 28 or 29 and 30. You know, God's love for sinners that he showed for us at the cross. You know, if you want a theme in reading through Romans, I encourage you to read through Romans, you know, in its entirety, but it just does think of that word love. You know, we tend to think, well, it's heavy-duty theology here. Really, Romans is all about God's love for us in Christ. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I'll give you one example. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Anything good that we did to make us worthy? No. You know, God set his love upon us in Christ. While we were still sinners, he called us to saving faith. And we know the assurance of that love there at the cross. A quote I came across this week, modern quote, yes, Michael Reeves, but let me read it for y'all. Without the cross, we could never have imagined the depth and seriousness of what it means to say that God is love. You know, the Father's sure love for us. Christ saving love for us in Christ. Just to give you one more reinforcement from Scripture, you know, from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. It begins with verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You know, when we feel insecure, worried, anxious, you know, turn to Romans 8. Turn to John chapter 9, John chapter 10, Psalm 136. You know, the absolute security of God's love for us in Christ. I close with this. Almost made an insert, but, you know, follow along. Dr. James Boyce, one of the great modern-day expository preachers, Reformed theologians, now home with the Lord. He also wrote some great hymns. One of the final hymns that he wrote before the Lord brought him home to glory on June the 15th, 2000, was a hymn entitled Hallelujah. And it was based on Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. You know, it's a glorious hymn that brings gospel comfort and confidence in Christ. And put the words, if you look at the church Facebook page, I'm sure we can put them on the website. You can find the hymn as well online. Let me read just a few of the verses. And each of the verses begins with a couple of questions and then a note of praise. The first verse, what can separate my soul from the God who made me whole, wrote my name on heaven's scroll? Nothing, hallelujah. Angels, demons, now or then, wickedness dreamed up by men, persecutions come again. Nothing, hallelujah. Last verse. We face death for God each day. What can pluck us from his way? Let God's people ever say, nothing, hallelujah. You know, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you're young or old, good health, bad health, rich, poor, you know, rest assured, you know, we are to prize, ever prize, and now proclaim God's sure and saving love for us in Christ. May we know it in life. May we know it on the day of our death. All to God's glory and praise. All God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise that your steadfast love endures forever. May those words be ringing in our ears, on our heart, even when we lay down to sleep tonight. First thing Monday morning. Lord, thank you that you reassure us and you remind us, you teach us patiently and perseveringly, teach us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So, Lord God, for those who are struggling today, fear, worry, anxiety, Lord, I pray that this promise of Scripture would give rest to their souls and spirits. Lord, for the one who has not yet trusted in Christ, I pray that they would know the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, the assurance of salvation that comes by grace through faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.